Chapter 1. Investigations were made in the 17th and 18th centuries to determine whether the American Indians were the lost tribes of Judah. And it was pretty well proved both yes and no, and unprovable either way, which made it an excellent topic for study and exploitation, one populated by warm bodies and tear-stained faces and beautiful waiting children. James Adair, an Irish trader who lived among the Cherokees for 40 years, decided the Indians were indeed one of the lost tribes and wrote 70,000 words on the subject at a time when printed words were dear. He used as evidence such topics as their division into tribes, their language and dialects, their festivals, feasts, and religious rites, their absolutions and anointings, their laws of uncleanness, their avoidance of unclean things, their practices of marriage, divorce, and punishment for adultery, their ornaments. Adair was one of a series of writers who held similar views, among them Gregorio García in his Origen de los Indios del Nuevo Mundo, 1607, Bartolomé de las Casas, Thomas Thorogood in his Jews in America, 1650 and 1660, John Eliot in his Conjectures, Manasseh ben Israel, Cotton Mather, Roger Williams, William Penn, Charles Beatty in The Journal of 2 Months' Tour, 1768. The Cherokees were often selected for distinction because they were inheritors of a dignity beyond their rather simple means, and even referred to themselves as the principal people. Their lands were the center of the earth. All else radiated outward from there. Naturalist and social historian William Bartram reported on them, "The Cherokees in their disposition and manner are grave and steady, dignified and circumspect in their deportment, rather slow and reserved in conversation, yet frank, cheerful, and humane, tenacious of their liberties and natural rights of men, secret, deliberate, and determined in their counsels, honest, just, and liberal, and are ready always to defend their territory and maintain their rights." Male and female, they were hospitable but unobtrusive. The men appeared to be respectful but remained aloof, were secure within themselves. They would shake a stranger's hand silently while looking off toward the horizon, securing their own independence. They never bowed to any other creature. They were not even willing to nod. They spoke one at a time, deliberately and with many motions, then fell silent, listened without looking at their companion. They were of a copper color and proud of it, referred to Europeans as ugly whites, were lighter than their Indian neighbors, the Creeks and Choctaws and Iroquois. They were lithe, tall, erect, without noticeable deformities. Their spoken language was musical, punctuated by guttural, breathy breaks. The men enjoyed ball games, hunting, and warfare. Indeed, warfare was their favorite activity and occupied much of each winter. They were a clean people when compared to the white English, German, and Scots-Irish settlers drifting in, infiltrating their territory, most of whom were satisfied to bathe in autumn and not again till spring. The Indians went to water often, considering water, the sun, and fire to be 3 holy gifts of the Great Spirit. The Cherokees were polite, except that the men, particularly the young, were easily offended and quick to react, often violently, and whiskey made many of the men argumentative and testy. Women were not supposed to drink. The maidens were particularly appealing for whites as well as for Indians. Louis-Philippe, while Duke of Orléans, later he was King of the French, traveled to the Cherokee country in 1797. He remarked that there are several of these Indian women who are very pretty, and I was very struck by the coquettishness of their manners. It is an entirely different kind than their neighbors, and they could hardly have